suppose we start with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This will be an unusual class. First of all, the location. As you know, we are in competition with a free meal going downstairs. So thank you for coming. Secondly, as you know, our two classes are on the priesthood and then on one of the religions, since our second class is on comparative religion. Today, our religion will be Judaism. However, by way of exception, I have invited Mother John Paul, the Superior General of the Handmaids of the Precious Blood. I believe now it is 25 years that I have been going to a town called Jemez Springs, New Mexico. Their founder was a Father Fitzgerald. And he had inspired me before I had met the Handmaids. He founded two communities, one of men called Servants of the Paraclete, to help priests who are in trouble. Then he founded a community of women called Handmaids of the Precious Blood. They are seated down in front here. For the last 25 years, I've been going to New Mexico to their mother house. And a few years ago, when they decided they would like to have a monastery in Rome, Mother Teresa came from Calcutta. Mother David Marie from New Mexico. And I came from Detroit. And the Holy See welcomed the Handmaids of the Precious Blood. And they now have a monastery outside the city of Rome. I have written would somebody bring my copy of the manuscript? A book that will be published, perhaps, at least if not by Easter, by early May. And it is called A Prophet for the Priesthood. It is the spirituality of Father Fitzgerald, the founder of the Handmaids. I wrote the book out of gratitude for all that Father Gerald had done, first of all, for me. I wouldn't be a Jesuit. I was not, well, a salesman. So, before today is over, I will distribute a blank page on which I will ask you, if you wish, to sign your names and, pardon me, order a copy of the book. The price, I assure you, will be very, reasonable. The publisher, he'll send one hardback copy to every bishop in the United States free of charge. We're going to talk more about Father Fitzgerald because that was my decision. That today's class will be on the priesthood, but concentrating on what Father Gerald Fitzgerald believes a priest needs. Either where the priest is still, as we say, in good standing, or is in trouble. In any case, I've asked Mother John Paul, the Superior General, to speak to you on her community. There are about 35 members throughout the world. And, of course, they could have more members of the community. As a contemplative community, concentrating on prayer before the Blessed Sacrament and sacrifice for the priesthood. In Hamer Springs, you have adoration 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of the Holy Eucharist, praying for priests. Never, never in the history of the church in 2,000 years has the priesthood of the church been in more dire need. A grave revolution. And the only way we can both preserve the priesthood and when it is still sound and restore the priesthood that has been weakened either in faith or in morals is, of course, through God's grace. And they have three groups of people associated with the handmaids. The oblates, the associates of the priesthood, and members of religious communities of women, becoming the Association of Mary, Mother of Priests. How many members are there in the lay associates of the priesthood?
26,000.
And consequently, and I'm doing what I'm doing for the handmaids, because the Holy See wants me to. I thought I would ask Mother and her companion to drive from Chicago. And you started, what was it, 5:30? And they got here in time for class this afternoon. Mother John Paul, and we then share with the people here, and you're being then taped, both audio and videotape. Can somebody help me to put this on?
Thank you, Father Hardin. It's a very great privilege for us to be able to travel this distance to meet with Father Hardin this afternoon. We'll be here for a couple of days. We're here to seek Father Hardin's advice on the growth of our community. As Father mentioned, we are 35 members worldwide, but our lay prayer apostolates have grown, with the help also of Father Gerald, to 27,500. And first of all, though, before I begin, I'd like to express my deep gratitude to Father Hardin this afternoon for the opportunity of allowing me to speak with you about our vocation. The introduction that Father gave, as you know, is in the needs of our priests in today's world have shown that the United States is in dire need of deep reparation and prayer and sacrifice for our priests, for those that are faithful, that they may continue to remain faithful. They receive persecution in their fidelity to the priesthood. Those that have strayed, we pray that God's grace will touch them and bring them back to their priesthood. As Father mentioned, we were founded on Pentecost Sunday, May 25th, 1947. Just recently celebrated 50 years. Last year, we had the privilege of attending a Holy Mass with our Holy Father. We had private Mass with His Holiness and received His blessing on our community for the service that we have given to the Church. It's a hidden service because we are cloistered contemplative nuns. We spend our entire life before the Blessed Sacrament praying, and sacrificing for the priesthood. The priories, the two priories, because we don't have enough sisters to cover 24 hours, but we do have adoration during the day, and then twice a week in the evenings, our sisters are praying, and we all offer our lives for priests, but also we pray for the needs of the entire world. So all of your intentions are remembered before the Blessed Sacrament, day in and day out. As Christ's presence in the Eucharist is the center and source of our entire life, it is the deepest meaning and the strongest motivation of each handmaid's life. For us, perpetual adoration of the Blessed Sacrament day and night is not merely a devotion, but a way of life. Because we cannot have the Eucharist without the priesthood, and the priesthood without the Eucharist as the cause and effect of each other, the handmade way of life of Eucharistic adoration in our apostolate of praying and sacrificing for priests is so integrated, one to each other, that it is impossible to separate the two. By means of this life, we strive to strengthen the hands that lift God to God. Our life of Eucharistic adoration centered around the priesthood, we also have our devotions of imitation of Mary. Father Gerald gave us the name of Handmaids of the Precious Blood that we might follow in the footsteps of Mary, the first handmaid. And as she gave her fiat to God, we strive moment by moment to offer our lives as God wishes to unfold it for us during the day, and offering moment by moment our fiat in union with our Blessed Mother. We also center around the precious blood and the Sacred Heart. Our wine-red habits are symbolic of the precious blood that is mystically brought to our altars every day through the hands of our priests. Because of our Eucharistic adoration, we at the Mother House, and when we are in our enclosure, our veils are white, which symbolizes our life of Eucharistic adoration. We are dedicated to the honor, praise, and worship of God, and characterized by an unswerving loyalty and fidelity to the Vicar of Christ and the teachings of our Holy Mother, the Church. Our Mother House, as Father mentioned, is located in Jemez Springs, New Mexico. We are in a canyon. It's 65 miles north of Albuquerque, and a little difficult for people to know who we are sheltered there in the little canyon. And so, with the blessings of God, we've been able to extend out to the Archdiocese of Chicago. We have three sisters there now in our priory of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we there have the chapel is open to the faithful, that they too, if they wish, may come and adore our Lord during the day. We chant the entire Divine Office. We are contemplative, completely cloistered, monastic. Our priory in Lake Villa distributes the hosts to the surrounding parishes. This is an apostolic way of, to us, a real big blessing to be able to distribute the host, which will become the body of Christ on our altars. So it coincides very much so with our vocation. In our priory in Rome, the priory of San Giuseppe, there again we have our three sisters, and we're very privileged to have been near Father Hardin, as he mentioned, with the help of Mother Teresa, were able to obtain for us the pontifical status that we had been so praying that we might be blessed with. And in 1992, on November 13th of 92, we received from the Holy See the approval to be a pontifical community. So our house there in Rome is there primarily for our Holy Father. We have Eucharistic adoration there as well during the day, where we provide the opportunity for the faithful to share also in our Eucharistic holy hours and exposition. We have the privilege of priests and religious from the North American College and the Legionnaires of Christ that come very frequently to adore our Lord in our chapel. I have brought some information on our three associations, the Crusade of Prayer, the Lay Associates of the Priesthood. Members receive the first name of a priest for whom they promise to remember daily in their prayers. There are no other requirements except that the person remember this priest daily in their prayers and sacrifices. The same applies with the Confraternity of Mary, Mother of Priests, but we have this organization established for priests and religious. And then our Oblates of the Precious Blood is a little more extended. There are priests, laity, and religious belonging to this, that during the first year, they enter into a candidacy program, and monthly they receive instructions on our faith, on our charism, and the teachings of the Church from conferences that Father Hardin himself has given us during the time that he has been visiting our community, also from our own founder, from the Fathers of the Church and our Holy Father. After that year of preparation, if the individual is still interested in deepening their commitment, what we do is they make a solemn resolution to perform all of their actions for the love of God. And this solemn resolution then is deepened, their union with God, personal holiness. They strive for personal holiness. They continue to receive monthly instructions on the faith and become very spiritually united then with our congregation of adoring our Lord. But as Father Hardin says, we have lots of work to do. So what I'd like to do is leave with you back there also some literature on our community. If you know of a young woman who might be called to contemplative life, we have some brochures that you might help us pass around. Also, if you're interested in praying for priests and becoming associated with our congregation, we have some applications for the lay associate, as well as more information on our oblate program. And once again, I thank you. And thank you, Father Hardin, for inviting me to be here, speak with you today during your lecture class. And I hear that the subject for today's class was scheduled to be on the priesthood, and then Father has so graciously extended to speak to you about our founder, Father Gerald Fitzgerald. So I ask you in turn for remembrance in your prayers for our community and for an increase of vocations to our community. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Mother John Paul. As you realize, the crisis in the Catholic Church today is at heart a crisis in the priesthood. And there is no way that crisis can even be solved, not to say be the source of great grace for the future without much prayer and sacrifice. Only God can draw as He intends to. Greater good, because, as St. Paul tells us, the evil where sin is abounded, remember, there grace will more abound. what we desperately need. Dedicated people and your own cooperation. I would like to now speak to you using the notes you have of Father Gerald Fitzgerald. And specifically, the notes with the title, What is a Priest? My passage in the introduction. The first area of reflection is one of the favorite statements of Father Fitzgerald. The priesthood is God's greatest gift to man. God, we know, is all perfect. He is infinite. He is the one being who cannot not exist. Everyone, everything else. In theological vocabulary, we say the rest of the world is contingent. A good English translation of the word contingent is unnecessary. No one, nothing else, must exist except God. From all eternity, the three persons of the Holy Trinity shared among themselves the one divine nature. I am analyzing the, call it, theology of the priesthood of the founder of the handmaids of the precious blood. God did not have to bring anyone into existence. I cannot overemphasize the importance of that statement. Creation, then, is the first gift of God's love. And love is only as generous. Love is only as self-giving as the one who loves does what he or she does not have to do. God did not have to bring any of us into existence. Among the creatures that God made were, and thank God still are, rational beings, otherwise known as human beings. And there were, first of all, angels, pure spirits. Hear it. Or may I ask, do the angels have bodies? Now, because the angels have no paws, no bodies, are the angels no bodies? You see how deeply, profoundly materialistic is our culture. Am I clear? If something has no body, may God have mercy on us. In English, our dictionaries say that there are no bodies. I'm sure I've said this before. The most materialistic nation, change the sentence, the most powerful materialistic nation in the world is the United States. To know that is to be in contact with reality. We know what happened among the angels. Some obeyed, and they were rewarded with the eternal vision of God. Others refused to obey. They were sent. Oh, this word needs to be used today besides a form of cheap profanity. There is a hell. Then God created, after the angels, human beings with a body and a soul. Again, they, from the beginning, had to prove their loyalty. You know what happened to our first parents? They disobeyed. But already, after their disobedience, God promised to send them a Redeemer. The Redeemer came, and he was no less than God. Become man. He was conceived in Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, and crucified in Jerusalem. I cannot begin to tell you how precious, oh, deeply precious is Christ's crucifixion in my life. That's what the world did to God when he became man. And now the priesthood. I'm so happy to say that many of my own fellow Jesuits in the 16th century were killed, martyred, at the altar, having taught, as I've said more than once, in 6 Protestant divinity schools, including 7 years at the Lutheran School of Theology. The poor Protestants, I would tell them to their face, "You poor Protestants." And they would jot it down. Founded by a Catholic priest who lost his faith in his priesthood, known as Martin Luther. The first thing that Luther and his followers did was to deny the priesthood. And that for a very logical reason. Because so Luther and his followers decided, the death of Jesus on the cross is all that the world needs to be saved. So just a minute. Over the years I've debated with Protestants. I make sure, however, they are professionally intelligent Protestants. Of course, Jesus Christ died on the cross to redeem the world. But the graces that he won for a sinful world, so the world might be saved, one, remember, merited, gained by the living God who became man and died on Calvary. But those graces have to be communicated. And that is why the night before he died, and this is Father Gerald, the night before he died, So Father Gerald keeps repeating the night before Jesus died. He changed bread and wine into his own living body and blood, and then told his apostles, do this in commemoration of me. And the Catholic Church teaches infallibly by those words, Jesus instituted the sacrament of the priesthood. Why? So that the graces that Christ won, past tense, for a sinful world on Calvary, might be communicated, might be shared, might be given out. And the principal channel of that communication of grace is, this is our Catholic faith. The principal channel of those graces is the Holy Eucharist. And Father Gerald repeats and repeats and reemphasizes the priesthood is the means by which Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary to win for us, to merit for us the grace we need to be saved, Christ instituted the priesthood so that through the priesthood we might have Jesus Christ on earth three times over. They might be present on earth, the same identical Jesus who was conceived in the womb of his mother. The same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. The same Jesus who lived for 30 years at Nazareth, then preached in Palestine, who died on the cross, and then on Easter Sunday rose from the dead. If somebody were to tell me, no, and so many call me Hardin, academically, in my 5 years of teaching at the State University, I was Dr. Hardin. If somebody were to say, no, Hardin, hold a gun to my chest. No, Hardin, you retract what you just said. And see, it is not true that at the Last Supper, Jesus instituted the priesthood. And this priesthood is the divinely ordained means for the same Jesus who was carried by his mother for 9 months in her womb. This same Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now this Jesus is on earth in the Holy Eucharist. Deny that or I'll shoot you. Oh, how happy I would be. 50 years I've been praying for martyrdom. And I'm still, oh no, I'm still on earth. That, thank God, is your faith and mine. 1st, then the real presence. That's the Eucharist. 2nd, when we receive Holy Communion, we receive the same identical Jesus that Mary carried in her womb for 9 months. The same Jesus she held in her arms in the stable in Bethlehem. And then all this needs to be said. And of course, the Lutherans and the Baptists and the Anglicans and the other parts that I taught. Obey my superiors, good Mazuma. 14 years in New York. I learned some Jewish. Mazuma. Pay the Jesuits, good Mazuma. To have this character. Teach the Protestants. Can you imagine? Catholicism. And they loved it. We as Catholics believe, number three, we believe that the same Jesus who died on Calvary on the first Good Friday is on the altar. When the priest says, this is my body, and then separately consecrates the wine and pronounces the words, this is the chalice of my blood, by the way. And I've examined over the years, the only language that I know of in the world that says, this is the cup of my blood, is English. The Latin text says, hic est calix, chalice. This is why Paul the VI issued a formal document. Thanks, Holy Father, thanks. The meaning of the English translation in any vernacular language is never that of the vernacular. The meaning is always that of the original Latin. It is the chalice of my blood. When that second consecration is completed, as Catholics we believe, the same identical Jesus who died on Calvary offers himself in sacrifice. Not because he has to die again. He died only once, but in order to communicate, to give the grace that he won for us on the cross through the sacrifice of the Mass. My day is made if even one of you remembers what are the four essential parts of sacrifice. Voluntary surrender of something precious to God. Thanks. Guess where I learned that? From Father Gerald Fitzgerald. This is what we Catholics believe in, that Christ instituted the priesthood in order to enable him, what a verb, to enable him to be present on earth, and the same Jesus Christ lived for 33 years, invisible form, in Palestine. Don't you ever, comma, ever, ever use the past tense and say when Jesus was on earth. That is, in plain vocabulary, that is heresy. Am I clear? When Jesus was on earth visibly, is Jesus Christ on earth? He sure is. And now, to go on to your second set of notes, may I ask, what time is it?
20 to 3.
So I have 20 minutes.
Right.
The second set of notes is a prophet of the priesthood. And I'll just say a few words. What I've done is summarized the book that, you know, here it is. And there's a beautiful introduction by an archbishop in Rome, one of the leaders of the Holy See. And he praises this book, pardon me, extravagantly, even though the writer was a sinner by the name of Father Harden. We just ask the questions. In the 20 minutes we've got, answer them. Why talk about the priesthood? Because there was no Christianity without the priesthood. There's no Catholic Church without the priesthood. Why talk about the priesthood? Because of the massive crisis in the priesthood in countries like our own. And I'm sure I've said more than once, people lost in our country 90% of our Catholic seminarians since 1965. You don't close. And I've said more than once, 42 parishes in the Archdiocese of Detroit without a reason. What's the reason? The loss of faith by priests in their own priesthood. Am I clear? I'm so happy that I'm being recorded. It's a crisis of faith. And the faith first and mainly among the priests. Now, why speak about Father Fitzgerald? Because over the centuries, God raises leaders in His church in times of crisis. And this is a time of crisis. The Greek word krisis, spelt in Greek, C-H-R-I-S-I-S. The crisis in the church today calls for decisions. That's what crisis means. The Greek word crisis means decision. Thanks for being here. I'm not well beyond helping people make decisions. And thanks for coming. With the dinner being served downstairs, I said a prayer several times, Lord, please send somebody upstairs to class. Thanks for coming. Father Fitzgerald not just was, but is such a leader. As you know, leaders don't just start something. Leaders continue leading. My Father in God, Saint Ignatius Loyola, he is a leader. And those of us who believe that he was specially chosen by God to reform the church in the 16th century are convinced we followers of Saint Ignatius have a special assignment to reform the church of the 20th century. And my friends, the Catholic Church in the 20th century needs a deeper and wider reformation than ever before, including the 16th century. the crowning achievement of his life was to inspire the foundation of two religious institutes, specifically for the spiritual needs of priests, the men servants of the Paraclete, and the women, you heard Mother John Paul, to pray and sacrifice for priests. Father Joel inspired thousands of the faithful to pray and sacrifice for the sanctification of priests. What number did she give? How many lay associates? 27,000. Isn't that great? Pardon me. 27,000 plus. If I could mock the door, I'd stand at the door and not let you leave until you agreed, pardon me, I knew I shouldn't have come to class, to become a lay associate of the priesthood. Okay? And I think I already told you, I'm going to pass around, if needed, to blank sheets of paper.